Today's shiur is Masechet Gittin Daf Samach Beis. We will begin in Daf Samach Beis, Amud Aleph, at the end of the third line. Hey, Reb Yosef ben Meshulam, Meshem Reb Yochanan, Achiv, Shamim Shem Reb Elazar ben Chisma. Ein Oisin Chalas Am Oretz Betara, which means, as the Rishonim explain, Tosfos, based on Tosfos. If an Am Oretz prepared a dough, and as we learned already from the previous shiur, when Am Oretz prepares a dough, we have to assume that the dough is tameh because the Amoratzim were not careful about tumah v'tahara. But they were careful that they want challah removed from the dough. And moreover, they knew, as we learned in the previous year, that challah is not allowed to become tameh. So the Am Oretz approaches a Jewish baker and says to him, why don't you just bake enough or prepare enough dough that it should be able to be designated as the challah portion of the dough that I, the Am Oretz, have prepared. And you could then I could take that challah portion and use it for challah. But the dough, I'll prepare myself. That, the Gemara says, is unacceptable. Ein oisin chalas Am Oretz betara. And as the Mefarshim explain, and we'll see it clear in the Gemara, even though, as we're going to learn right now, the Jewish baker, the chaver baker, could prepare the entire dough. That means that Am Oretz will bring to the baker the ingredients before they were mukshel kabel tumah, before they became susceptible to tumah. The baker will prepare the entire dough, and then he'll take off from the dough the challah portion. That is permissible. And as we're going to understand, the reason is because Chazal wanted to have that the chaver baker should have an opportunity to prepare and make a living. And this was a way that he could do it. But continues the Gemara in teaching us that when he does so, the notal menaka de challah, he takes off the challah portion, he prepares the entire dough, separate from the Am Oretz non tumah susceptible ingredients, Nitel Menek De Chala, takes off the portion of Chala, and he's going to return it all to the Am Oretz. And we have to be concerned that the Am Oretz is going to use it and make a tummy. How will we make sure that the Am Oretz knows to treat it properly? These are like small pieces of leather, and that so when the Am Oretz comes to take back what the baker prepared for him, he takes both the dough and the challah portion. And as the Rishonim point out, even though we learned in the previous year that one may leave by an Am Oretz portion of challah, portion of truma, and you can be mafkid, you can leave it as a deposit by him and not be concerned, explain the Mefarshim that there we're leaving something that doesn't belong to the Am Oretz. So the Am Oretz knows this is not my item. I have to be careful not to use it. However, when I'm leaving by him his own item, so he feels much more a sense of control. So the only way to guarantee that he should know he's not allowed to touch it is by putting it on this separate piece of leather, and accomplishes two things, the Mefarshim explained. Number one, you normally don't put a piece of dough in a small piece of leather. And number two, since the piece of leather is a small piece of leather, it's not susceptible to tumah. So even if the Am Oretz will touch it, he won't make a tumah because it's not a keli that's makabel tumah. Similarly, says the Gemara, then oisim truma zeisa b'tahara, that if the Am Oretz has olives that we have to take truma from, so just to agree, for the chaver to agree that he'll designate some olives to be the truma portion on behalf of the Am Oretz is unacceptable. But Aval Oisin Zaysev Chula B'Tahara, if the Am Oretz brings all of his olives to the Chaver olive presser, and again, as we said earlier, he has to make sure to deliver it before they were Mukshul Kabal Tuma, before they became susceptible to Tuma, and then the Chaver Neitel Kedei Truma takes off from it the truma portion, or Menichai Bekel Shel Chaver, and leave it in the chaver's vessels that are not tamei. Ukshiba Amaretz Litol, and when the Amaretz comes to take, Noitel Shteim, he takes the pressed olives and the portion of Truma, Venechashish. Ask the Gemara of Tamamai, why do we agree to this? Should we not be concerned that doing this, the Amaretz, as we said earlier, may end up being Metama, the Chala portion, Issa Deraisa? He may be Metama, the Truma portion, and Issa Deraisa. Why are we not concerned? Amar of Yochanan, Mishum Kedei Chayiv de Gabo. The baker is a chaver, and we're going to tell a baker who's a chaver that he can only do business with somebody who's not Amaretz, he'll never have an opportunity to have proper panosa. Similarly, Mishum Kedei Chayiv de Badad. The olive presser, we can't tell him to only have chaverim as clients. So ask the Gemara, why did the Gemara have to teach us the exact same din, both by a baker and by an olive presser? Says the Gemara. The profit margin of a baker was quite minimal. So we have to be concerned that if we're going to now limit who he could do business with, he'll never have panasa. Avabadad, al oppressor, the nefesh agri, his margins are much higher. Some emeloi, perhaps we should restrict him, that he could only do business with a chaver. V'yashmin abadad, shum delo shchichle. Not everybody has olives. So if you start off with a limited customer base, only people that have olives, and now you go further and restrict that he can only work with chaverim, he's going to be left with no business. Ava gabel, the shchichle. Maybe there's not a high profit margin by baking, but everybody needs baked goods. So maybe there we should restrict that he should be able to only do business with chaverim. Emeloi, tzricha. Says the Gemara, Omamar, so when this chaver is preparing the challah, the dough, he separates the challah part, put it on these leather pieces, and now when the amaretz comes to pick up his dough and the challah portion, he takes the challah portion that's on these leather pieces, the rest of the dough, and we're not worried that it's going to be metam of the challah. As the Gemara, we're dealing with Amaretz. He really doesn't have a feeling, he really doesn't have a concern about these things. So why are we not concerned that he will touch the challah and make a tameh, which we just said is an issa d'oraisa? Says the Gemara, d'armin alei, because we tell the Amaretz, chazi, you should know, that in nogespa, if you will touch the challah, hadra letivla, it will become tevel again. And there's a machlokes ha'achroinim, how to understand this Gemara. Ritva says it doesn't become tevel again. Once you separate it, it can't become tevel. But the Amaretz doesn't know that. So as a threat, I'm allowed to say it. The Chassam Sofer disagrees. He says that this whole process works is only at Takanas Chazal. And Chazal instituted that if the Amaretz will indeed touch it, the whole process becomes null and void, and it becomes indeed tevel. Ritva says he doesn't know where Chazal have that right, or employ that right, and it's just a threat. In fact, I saw Paiskim use this Gemara to prove that sometimes you're allowed to say something to a person to do the right thing, even if it's not 100% true. I saw interesting Shaila in the Paiskim. Let's say you have a person has a problem getting up in the morning. It comes late to shul. So what we want to do is at night, you switch the clock. So he said, when he looks at the clock in the morning, he should think that it's later than it really is. And like that, he'll jump out of bed. But it's not really honest, because you're manipulating the time. It's not the truth. Are you allowed to do it or not? And some places can suggest, based on the Ratvaz's pshat in our Gemara, which Ratvaz says, you're allowed to threaten Amaretz with something which is not true. If it's to encourage a person to do the right thing, it's mutter. Ask the Gemara, But what are we worried about? That we're going to threaten the Amaretz that if he touches it, it's going to become tevel. So does the Amaretz really care about that threat? Answers the Gemara, of course he does. If he didn't care, he wouldn't have gotten involved in this in the first place. If he didn't care, why did he look out for the chaver who should be the baker and take off the challah? If he doesn't care, he doesn't care. Obviously he does care, and therefore, as long as we give him the right conditions, he'll act properly. We also learned earlier, when you have the olives, the chaver takes off the truma, and he leaves it in his kalim, in his vessels, which are not tamei. Now when the amaretz comes to pick up his olives, his oil, he has the oil, and he has the truma. Ask the Gemara, why are we not concerned that when he's picking up the olive oil and the chaver put it into a tar vessel, the amaretz is going to touch that tar vessel and make a tamei? And the Gemara strengthens its question. Bishlam ha'asam islay ha'keira. In the previous case, since you put the dough, the challah, on these leather pieces, which is not the place you normally put challah, so you have a way of him recognizing. Here, you're putting into regular kalim. Ha'chamay ha'keira islay. Answers the Gemara, the monachlay b'kli glolim, b'kli avonim, b'kli adama. You put it into these types of vessels that are not makabel tumah. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that you're putting into these types of vessels, so why do you have to use the chava's vessels? If these kalim are never makabel tumah, then I feel with amaretz nami. Then you can be able to use even amaretz vessels, because there's no problem of tumah if these kalim are not makabel tumah. Answers the Gemara, that's exactly what the Gemara means. That's what the bright Gemara meant. You put it into the kalim of the amaretz, but what type of kalim? Haruin l'shtamash ban chaver. Kalim that are not susceptible to tumah that even a chaver could use, because they're not susceptible to tumah. And as the Rishonim explain, since these kalim, kli glolim, kli adama, are not susceptible to tumah, and chaverim were careful about tumah tahara, it was very typical that a chaver should only have in his home, have a lot of these type of kalim in his home to avoid tumah tahara problems. We learned in the Mishnah further, we could strengthen the akum in Shemitah. Ask the Gemara. So the Gemara assumes that machzika means that you're allowed to assist an akum to work in a Shemitah field. Ask the Gemara, machzikin, v'om rabdimi ba shishna, v'shmei derav, ein oidrim in akum b'shvius, we're not allowed to participate and help a guy work on a Shemitah field during the Shemitah year. Furthermore, then Kaifum Sham Lev Khavim, we'll speak about this halacha in a moment, and says the Gemara, of course you're not allowed to help him. What he meant was, but you're allowed to tell a guy, be successful, good luck, when you see him working on the field in the Shemitah. He heard Rav Yehuda, Am Lechzuka. Rav Yehuda saw a guy working on a field during the Shemitah, he said, you should be successful. Similarly, called the Rav, Rav Ashi Amalur Shart, same type of situation, giving them encouragement. And Taisvis, and the Chazon Ish spends a lot of time discussing this Taisvis, says as follows. Certainly, according to the Manda Omer, that says that a goy owning property in Eretz Yisrael, that's a famous machloikus of the Beis Yosef and the Mabit, that a goy owning property in Eretz Yisrael doesn't absolve that property from Hilchos Shemitah. Certainly you can't help a guy working on property in the Shemitah year. But even according to the opinions, says the Chazon Ish, this is the Halacha L'maisa, that a guy, if a guy truly owns property in Eretz Yisrael, then you are allowed to eat the produce from that property. That is only that you're allowed to eat the produce because the guy, since the guy owns the property, it's not a problem. But that still doesn't allow a Jew to participate in working in the product, in the field. And the Chazon Ish says, moreover, even Shemitah b'zman hazeh, which most Rishonim hold, that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is a derabbanan, still, even in property that's owned by a goy, a Jew, unless it's extenuating circumstances, has no right to help the goy work on the field, but he may, according to those opinions, eat from the produce. So we learned, then kai from shalom lev kachavim. We can't say shalom twice to a goy, says the Gemara. Rav Chisda Magdim V'yav Le'Shalma. Rav Chisda would say shalom to the guy before the guy said shalom to him. Why? So Mefarshim explain. The proper way of behaving is that when somebody says shalom to you, you're supposed to say shalom to him more. The Miri says it's just supposed to be more. Obviously you have to say the word shalom twice. So Rav Chisda didn't want to have a situation where he's going, if a guy greets him first, he's going to have to say shalom to the guy twice. So he was careful to say shalom first to the guy and only have to use the word shalom once. That's the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. Why is there a reason that we shouldn't express Shalom twice to a guy? So I sort of first explain. A Jew believes in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. A Jew believes in Mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chaveroi and Mitzvah Ben Adam L'Makam. So he deserves two Shaloms. The Goyim don't have that concept, so preferably we shouldn't say Shalom to a guy twice. We also see here a very important halacha, that if somebody greets you, when you respond to him, you have to be more profuse in responding to him than his initial greeting to you. In fact, I saw a famous story from Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. There was a story, it was the last Shabbos of the year. And a Jew approached him and told him, Good Vach, have a good week. So Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld responded, Good year, you should have a good year. Then Rabbi Yosef Chaim ran back to him and said, Now I have to give you more of a bracha. So he said, Why? He says, Because normally, if in a regular Matzoi Shabbos, someone approaches me and says, Good Vach, so he's only giving me a bracha for the week. If I tell him Good Yar, I'm giving him a much bigger bracha, like Al Gemara just taught us. You have to give a bigger bracha than the bracha you receive. But this week, Rosh Hashanah is going to be on Tuesday. So you gave me a bracha Good Vach, which is going to bracha for 7 days. I gave you a bracha good year, which is only going to last till Tuesday. Tuesday is a new year. So I didn't do what the Gemara said. So I'm running after you to give you a better bracha. Says the Gemara, Mar Uk Rav Kahana Omele Shalom Lamar. Here too, the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. Rav Kahana wasn't always as careful as he should be to greet the guy first to avoid giving him a double shalom. So now, so once the guy said shalom first, he has to give him a double shalom. But you don't want to have such a situation. So when Rav Kahana greeted him with a double shalom, he didn't think about the guy. He thought about his Rebbe. I'm saying it to you, but I'm really thinking that my Rebbe should be blessed. And many Rishonim take exception with that pshat, because isn't that Geneva's Bas? I'm saying shalom to you, but I'm not even thinking about you. You, I don't like even. So how could that be? So Rishonim say here, they say no pshat. One pshat is that Geneva Stas is never behirah. It's only something I'm thinking about, not doing. Another pshat they say is that really we shouldn't have to say shalom to a guy. What's the whole reason we say shalom to a guy? Like we learned in the Mishnah, Mishum Dark is shalom. So Dark is shalom says I have to go through the motions, but I don't have to really think about it. B'shalom b'shalom. We learned in the Mishnah, b'shalom b'shalom. Says the Gemara, Hashtag Zuki Mechsekinon. If we learned in the previous Gemara, we could encourage them, Shalom b'shalom and buy it. So Mefarshim ask, it's hard to understand our Gemara. In the previous case, as we just learned, when you Shalom b'shalom, you're using Hashem's name, Shalom. But when you say Achzuki Mechsekinon, you're not using Hashem's name. So what's one have to do with the other? So Mefarshim answer, in Megillas Rus, there's a pasuk about supporting workers. And what was the words used? Hashem Imochem. So you see that even when we encouraged workers, we used Hashem's name. And that's why the Gemara is asking, if we could use Hashem's name under those circumstances, Shalom B'Shlemim, obviously we could also use Hashem's name. Answers the Gemara, Amar V'Yevelo Nitzuch El Yom Chagam. The Chiddush is that even on one of the holidays, I could be Shalom B'Shlemim. Because the Gemara says in Masech Avodah Zarah, the Tanya Lo Yichnas Adon L'Beisoy, Shalom B'Shlemim B'Yom Chagam V'Yitlo Shalom. For me to enter his home on one of his holidays and give him shalom is inappropriate. However, if I happen to find him in the street, then the halach is, personally, I could greet him, but I should be careful not to overdo it because he shouldn't see that I think his holiday is meaningful. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna Rav Chizda Ava Yosfi. Rav Huna Rav Chizda was sitting, and Geneva walked by. So one said to the other one, it's appropriate that we get up for him, the Barurian Hill. He's a Talmud Chochem. Should we get up for a person that always gets into disagreements? So they came, he approached them. So he called them, when he greeted them, he used the words twice, Shalom Aleichem, kings. Omlei Manola and the Rabbanan Ikrim Malachim. You're obviously calling us kings because we're Talmid Chachamim. Where do you see that Talmid Chachamim are considered kings? Omlei Diksev, be Malachim Yimloichu. And since you're Talmid Chachamim, I'm calling you Malachim. Amalei menol on the kefillin shama. And for where do we know that it's appropriate to say shama lechem twice lamalki? And as the mefarshim explain, what does this mean? Two pshatim I saw. One pshat is, we said earlier that when I initiate a greeting to someone, I only say shalom aleichem once. However, if I'm initiating a greeting to a Talmud Chacham, I say shalom aleichem twice. One pshat. Another pshat is that even though, as we're learning, it's highly appropriate that when I meet a person, I should greet him, even the goy. However, by Talmud Chacham, it's much more of an obligation. How do we know that that's the right thing to do? Dom Rav Yudam Raf, Benayin Shkoy from Shalom Melech, Shnam of Ruach Lovshes, Amosai Rosh Ashlishim, and it says the word Shalom twice. So they asked Geneva, they invited him, Omle Litam Marmidi, why don't you eat something? Omle Hochem Rav Yudam Raf, Oslo Adam Shitam Klum, Achitam Machel Bente. You're not allowed to eat until you give your animal to eat first. Shinema, because the Pasuk says in the Santi, Esa Besot Klavam Techo, Vahada Vachat Vesvata. So I can't eat because I didn't feed my animals. And this is the subject of a lot of interesting comments. Firstly, why is there such a din? That you're not allowed to feed your animal before, you're not allowed to eat before you feed your animal first. So I saw three explanations. One is because we want to get panos, to get something to eat, is from Chasdei Hashem. How do we become worthy of Chasdei Hashem? If we act with chesed, others, to the animals. Another pshat that I saw is that the pasuk says, "Adam ubehema teshia Hashem." Some Adam beschus behema. Maybe it's not our schus. Maybe the behema is schus that I have panasa. So that's why I have to feed the behema first. And the third pshat that I saw is that just like by Brias Ha'olam, when Hashem created the world, He first created the animals and then the humans. So too, when it comes to feeding them. However, the pasuk say, certainly, if you have small children, where Ramesh explains it, if you have small children at home who aren't able to eat themselves, you should feed your children before you feed your animals. Your children have more of a responsibility than to your animals. In fact, I saw a machlokes, is it appropriate to buy a pet in order to fulfill this gemara? The Sefer Chassidim seems to suggest, yeah. The Paleoites and the Maviyavik say no. And the reason they say no is because they say if somebody has a pet, and he may forget to feed the pet before he eats. It's a terrible avera, and they quote terrible punishments that happen to people for not fulfilling this, and therefore, to avoid a possible problem, don't have a pet. It's also shaila, is this relevant to every pet? So, what do I mean? The Pesukim can discuss, if you have a pet that's able to fend for itself, then you don't have to feed it. Only an animal that if you wouldn't feed it, wouldn't have what to eat. Where does the question come up? Question comes up if you have a fish tank. So you have to make sure to feed the fish before you eat. So the Pesukim can say, if the fish tank only has water, so the fish need other nutrients, other food. So you have to put in the fish food first. If it has fish food in there all the time, then you don't have to do it because they already have the food. It's such an important halacha that the Shulchan Aruch says that let's say somebody wash the tilos yadayim. And we know the halach is if you wash the tilos yadayim, you have to make hamaitzi right away. But you wash the tilos yadayim, and you remember, oh, I didn't feed the animal. The halach is that you have to feed the animal first, even though it's a hefsek. Moreover, the Pesukim say that every suda, even a suda's mitzvah, you have to feed the animal first. And they have a gvalda garaya. Because the Gemara says in Masech the Shabbos, that if there's a chas v'shalom, a fire at Shabbos, but sealin mitnad the lakin, mozen gimel sudas. Three meals, you have to eat three meals on Shabbos. So you say, you're allowed to save three meals. Not only la'odom, but even la'behema. Now, animal, first of all, suda Shabbos. Tidav suda Shabbos is a mitzvah. And certainly an animal doesn't have a mitzvah to eat shalosh sudas. Here we learn how important this thing is that you have to feed the animal every meal, even shalosh sudas. But then the question comes up, a lot of things to discuss at this Gemara, fascinating subject. Is this a din only by eating, but even by drinking? Are you allowed to drink before you want to take a drink? You have to make sure to give your animal a drink first. There are actually two rayas from the Torah that drinking is different than eating. One is that Rivka gave Eliezer to drink before she gave his camels to drink. And the second raya is that Moshe Rabbeinu when he hit the stone and the water came out, v'shkil lechem ulebi'irum. First them and their animals. So many paiskim say, the Magen Avraham says this, that this is a din only by eating, not by drinking. However, many paiskim disagree, and they say that it's a din by drinking also by eating. By eating, by drinking also. How do we reconcile those pesukim? So the simple pshat that they say is that even though we have to feed the animal before the person, that's if it's not a situation of sakonis nefoshes. But if the person is very thirsty, of course we have to take care of ourselves first. Eliezer just came back from a big trip, so he needed to drink first. So you can't prove from that situation. Others say the following. If I'm feeding myself for my own food, Ksav Sofer says this, if I'm taking my own food or my own drink, so I have to feed or drink, give to drink my animal. But if it's not me doing it, it's somebody else giving me to eat, he doesn't have that obligation. Rivka was giving Eliezer to drink, not from her, from Eliezer's food, from her own food. Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Klal Yisrael to drink, not from their food, from his food. And therefore, even though there's normally perhaps a din, that you have to give the animal to drink before the person, not when it's somebody else, not when I'm feeding someone else my food to him. We begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach, the parak of our Omer Ha'omer. Tosfos points out that in the order of our Gemara, it's obviously the Gemara order we're going to learn with, Ha'omer comes after the parak of Hanazakim, before the parak of Mi Sha'achsu. Tosfos says there are versions that have parak Mi Sha'achsu preceding Ha'omer, that those that even have Rais, the Rashi, must have had that girsa also. We've learned that a get that's given from a husband to a wife could use a shliach to deliver a get. And as we learned, there are two types of shlichim. There's a shlich lekabola and there's a shlich halacha. A shlich halacha is a shlich that the husband appoints to deliver the get to the wife. And the halacha of a shlich halacha, two important points. One is that the husband could appoint the shlich halacha. And secondly, that the get is not effective when a shlich halacha is being used until the get is actually delivered to the wife. A shlich kabbalah can only be appointed by the wife, but a shlich kabbalah, as soon as the shlich receives the get, even though he didn't deliver it yet back to the wife, the get is effective. So says the Mishnah, Ha'im es kabbal getz el ishti. If a husband says to a shlich, take this get to my wife, or her getz el ishti, so since he's a shlich la'ilocha, and we just learned that by a shlich la'ilocha, the get is not effective until the wife actually receives the get. Therefore, the halacha is, and writes l'achsa yachsa. He can retract until the wife actually receives the get. But on the other hand, ha'isha shamra, if the wife appointed a shliach and says, hiskabali gita, to accept the get on her behalf, here, in writes l'achsa yachsa. Once he gets the get is effective. Once the shlich obtains the get is completely effective. So the Mefarshim make a number of important halachic comments. One question they ask is if a woman appointed a shlich l'kabbalah, so we're learning as soon as the shlich receives the get, they're divorced. Why should we not be concerned that till he arrived, the woman nullified the shlichus? So I saw two answers to the question. One is that she can't nullify the shlichus unless there are Edom, unless she does it in front of Edom. Ain't davar she'ever pachas mishnayim. So if there were Edom, we would know about it. And if there are no Edom, then there's nothing to worry about. Or we could rely on the chazakah. If a woman appointed a man, somebody to be a shlich on her behalf to pick up a get, she probably didn't change. Why would she change her mind? Now the question is as follows. We know there's a concept of zochen l'adam shloi b'fonav, which means as follows. If I ask you to deliver a get to someone, deliver a gift to someone on my behalf, the halacha is zochen l'adam shloi b'fonav, and he becomes his immediately at that point. We'll discuss this more in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow shir. What about a get? So a get clearly is not a schus. So if somebody asks a shliach l'halacha to take a get to a woman, it's not effective because we don't say zochen. A get is not a schus. But sometimes a get is a schus. The Pesach can discuss really three situations. One situation, which we find very common in Shas, that somebody is giving his wife a get, so in order that she should be able to avoid having to require Yivam and Chalitza. There the Paiskim seem to say that we would employ the concept of Zochen Lavan Shleb Lefanov by a get. Another situation is where the wife is saying, I'm desperate, I'm so anxious to get divorced. So do we call it a schus then? Or if we have a case that the wife is married to a person who's a miserable individual, who is very ill and manuvel and mukashkin, and she's finally able to extract the get from him, do we say Zochen Lavan Shleb Lefanov? Many Paiskim say, we don't apply the concept of Zochen Lavan Shleb Lefanov by a get. Others suggest, Shchanach speaks about different opinions, that since this is clearly a schus, we could apply the concept of Zochen Lavan Shleb Lefanov by a get. Continues the Mishnah. Afika Chabamala Habal, Eshet Kabbalah. A woman sent a Shlich LeKabbalah to her husband. But he says, I don't want you to act in the role of a Shlich LeKabbalah. I want you to act in the role of a Shlich LeHailacha. And he says, I want you to act in that role. The halacha is emrach lachsu yachsur. He could retract. If a woman says to man, to shlich, pick up my get on my behalf, there, and he does it, he's a shlich lekabbalah, and the husband has no right to retract. Emrach lachsu yachsur. There is a shaila which we've discussed and will discuss throughout Shas. Hoylich kischi. How do we define the word hoylich? Is the word hoylich to be defined as if it means that becomes the person who I'm asking it should be delivered for immediately or not? Amar of Achabred of Avila of Ashi. In the Reisha of the Mishnah, we learned that the husband has the authority to retract Tamid Shvisi I Shliach, the Kabbalah, because we're talking about a Shlich Lahilacha. However, were we referring to a Shlich Lekabbalah? Hashavisi e shlich lekabbalah. Were we talking about a shlich lekabbalah? The halacha is rotz lachs layachser. There, halacha is that he can no longer retract once he gave the shlich leget. So, what is one of the cases of the reisha? Shmamina hoylich kischi. One of the cases we learned in the reisha is a case of hoylich. So we see that the word hoylich is another way of saying that it should be immediately effective. And like Tosfos points out, otherwise why would the Mishnah need to teach us both of these cases? Says Mar, it's not a proof. Just because you say the word hoylich doesn't mean it should be effective immediately. So then why did the Mishnah have to speak about this case? The chiddush of the reish of the Mishnah is the following then. As we said earlier in our introductory remarks, the husband only has a right to appoint a shlich lekabbalah, a shlich lailocha. A husband can't make a shlich lekabbalah. So I would think that if a husband used the words, hiskabel get lishti, which if we see, we try to define those words simply, seem to be words of shlich lekabbalah. So I would think that afagav the mata gita liyada, even if the shlich will deliver the get, loy havagata, It won't be a valid get. Because the husband made a mistake. He appointed somebody to be a shlich lekabbalah. And a husband doesn't have the ability to appoint somebody to be a shlich kabbalah. Kamash Mu'an, that even if he used the word hiskabel, it doesn't mean that he should be a shlich lekabbalah. What he meant was hiskabel v'hoylech kamar. He meant that you should carry it and be a shlich lelocha. Continues the Gemara. So now we learned in the Mishnah further, if Ishish Amra, and Ishish says to a shlich, Hiskabel Gitti, you be a shlich lekabbalah on my behalf. The halacha is and rotzalachs layachzer. He can't retract. Now, my laugh, isn't the Mishnah even referring to such a case? Lashna kabbalah, lashna halacha. Whatever word was used, even if he used the words hoylich, he becomes a shlich lekabbalah, and it'll be a raya that hoylich is a way of affecting kizchi immediate acceptance. So the Gemara, no, it's only referring to the case of kabbalah. When you use the word kabbalah, not when they use the word hoylich. Tashma, we continue learning what our Mishnah said. Lefikach, emamala abal, if the husband were to tell the shliach, i'efshish the kabbalah, I don't want you to play a role as a shliach lekabbalah. Ela hoylich v'tenla, I want you to play the role of a shliach lehoylocha. Dalach is emrotz lachzi yachzer. Since he changed his role, that he's no longer shliach lekabbalah, he's only a shliach lehoylocha. And the halacha, as we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, is that a husband has the right then to retract. Tam the Amafshi. Only because the husband has expressly retracted. Holo Ami Efshi. Had the husband not used those words, the halacha would be Imrotz Alach Lo Yachzer. Even though the word Hoylich was used, doesn't that seem to prove that Shmami No Hoylich Kizchidami? Says the Mara, no, because Dama Behelich Helich. Maybe what it means is that he didn't use the word Hoylich. The word Hoylich we don't know how to define. The word Helich, the Gemara is saying, clearly would mean that that you're a shlich lekabbalah and you're accepting the get and it's effective immediately. It's interesting that the Rivash discusses the following shaila. What will be the halacha in the following scenario? Our Mishnah says that if the woman appointed somebody to be a shlich lekabbalah and the shlich approaches the husband and says, I'm supposed to be a shlich lekabbalah. The husband says, no, I don't want you to act as a shlich lekabbalah, yefshi. I want you to act as a shlich lelocha. So the husband has the right to do that. What happens now if the husband changes his mind? So you know what? What's the difference? Shlich kabbalah, shlich lelocha. You can be a shlich lekabbalah. Can the husband do that or not? What is the shaila? Because when the husband is now reappointing him as a shlich lekabbalah, who's making him a shlich lekabbalah? The husband. But we learned in our Mishnah that the husband doesn't have a right to make somebody a shlich lekabbalah. So what's the din? Can he do it or not? And the Rivash says he can't. Once the husband changed the status of this shliach from being a shliach kabbalah to being a shliach lelocha, he can no longer revert him back to being a shliach lekabbalah. Says the Gemara, pshit, it's obvious. Says the Gemara, ish av shliach lelocha. A husband can appoint a man to be a shliach lelocha on his behalf. She came ba melech get leishtai. Just like the husband could do it, he could appoint a shliach on his behalf. Similarly, isha have a shliach lekabbalah. A woman could appoint another woman to be a shliach lekabbalah on her behalf. She came ish mekabels gitim yad bala. The question, however, asked the Gemara, ish lekabbalah vishla lochamai. Can a man act as a shliach lekabbalah and can a woman act as a shliach lehilochah? Because as Rav Akiva Eiger explains our Gemara, the halacha we learned earlier in our Masechta, that someone who isn't in the parasha of Gittin V'Kedushin cannot act as a shliach for Gittin V'Kedushin. So now the question is, how do we view a man and a woman? Do we view a man and a woman, certainly they're in the parasha of Gittin V'Kedushin, and therefore they can act both as a shliach lekabbalah and as a shliach lelocha? Or do we say, it has to be much sharper. You could only act as a shliach to something that you yourself could do. But if you can't do it, even though you're in the parasha of Gittin V'Kedushin, you can't take that role. Says the Gemara, Toshma. We learned in our Mishnah, the case that we just discussed. Somebody says, take this get as a shlich lelocha for my wife. The locha is, until the get is delivered, he can retract. Furthermore, he shall shamiskabel ligiti imrotza lachsa loyachsa. Once the Isha appoints somebody as a shliach lekabbalah, and the shliach receives the get, he can no longer retract. Now, ask the Gemara, isn't our Mishnah referring to chat shliach? To the same person as the shliach lekabbalah and shliach lelocha. V'shma mino kosh lekabbalah, kosh lelocha. The same person could be either a shliach lekabbalah or a shliach lelocha. Says the Gemara, loy, v'shnei shluchim. The Mishnah, when it speaks about a shliach lekabbalah, is talking about a woman. Mishnah, when it's talking about a shliach lelocha, is talking about a man. So let's go on. Toshma. We just spoke about this thing. Lefika chamama halabal. If the wife appointed a shlich lekabbalah, and the husband says to him, I'efshish the kabbalah. I don't want you to act in the role of a shlich lekabbalah. Elahorich v'tenloy. I want you to act in the role of a shlich lehilocha. He's allowed to do it. And since he changed roles, so now he's a shlich lehilocha. The halacha is, imratzalachsa yachsa. He could retract until the get is actually delivered. Says the Gemara, it's the same individual who was originally a shlich lekabbalah, is now is being turned into a shlich lelocha. Shma mino kosh lekabbalah, kosh lelocha. That the same person can have both jobs. Says the Gemara, prashmina. So now we clearly have a raya. The ish have a shlich lekabbalah. That a man can not only be a shlich lelocha, but a male can even be a shlich lekabbalah. And what's our raya? Says the Gemara. Because she can't ab mekabel get labita ktana. Just like a father could accept a get on behalf of his daughter, so too could any man be a shlich la kabbalah. And our Sameach explains, even though when a father accepts a get on behalf of his daughter, he's not acting as a shliach. He's acting as a guardian. Still from here we see that a man is capable of receiving a get, and once we've established that a man is capable of receiving a get, we also establish that a man can be a shliach l'kabbalah. However, this question that still remains, could a woman be a shliach l'alocha? Isha l'alocha t'boilach. Could a woman act as a shliach l'alocha? Mai, what is the halacha? Amar Mary, tashma. We learned the Mishnah. We learned that there are five women, a mother-in-law, a stepdaughter, a tzara, who typically hate a woman, and those women are not trusted to say testimony that this woman's husband died. Nemanis lahavi is gita. They still can act as shlichim to deliver a get. What kind of shlich are we talking about? V'hasam halachihi. They're acting as shlich lahalacha. So we clearly see that a woman can act in the role of a shlich lahalacha. Omer of Ashi, b'seifa na mishmamina. From the end of our Mishnah, we have another raya that a woman can act as a shlich lahalacha. The Tani Seif, it says at the end of that Mishnah, heish atzim v'yis gita. And the way we learned to get the story in that Mishnah, the explanation of our Mishnah was as follows. A husband gives his wife his get. So normally the case, as we learned earlier, is as soon as the husband puts the get into the wife's hands, she's divorced. Here, the husband gave the wife the get with the following stipulation. He said that the get should not be effective until it's delivered, until you go to Eretz Yisrael, come to Beis Din, and say, so the wife is acting as a shliach lahalacha for her own get. The kibna, we explain that the wife is acting as a shliach lahalacha. If we're going to say that women are always disqualified to be a shlich l'alacha, so how can we understand that Mishnah? Shema mina, from here we see that women can act in the role of a shlich l'alacha, and men can act in the role of shlich l'kabbalah.